34. A perfectly fine trophy. Miss Hackandottir scanned the sky and the rainforest below the airship with her spyglass. She had been presented with a chance to swoop down from the heavens and scoop up her lifelong enemy and a handful of his key agents. It had all been coming together so perfectly until, in only minutes, that hunchback had shattered her plans. He'd moved with more speed and agility than she dreamed would be possible, and his strength was truly staggering. To actually lift the steam engine, it had taken a crane to lower it onto the car. Her only consolation was that Modo was dead now, though even that represented a failure of sorts. As much as she'd wanted Socrates and Tharpa and all the information inside their brains, she'd wanted Modo more. When she'd told the Guildmaster and Dr. Hyde about meeting Modo on the deck of the Wyvern, and explained that he had the ability to change his physical appearance, the possibilities had staggered both men. They'd wanted him captured alive so they could study him. Perhaps his talents could be duplicated. And she'd almost had him, right here on the very deck of her airship. But now he was a shattered corpse on the rainforest floor, the buzzards and lizards and whatever other creatures down there, consuming all his secrets piece by piece. A piece. A piece! But that was all she needed. Just a piece of him. An earlobe. A toe. Then she remembered that furious swing of her sabre, and she ran to the place near the railing where his blood had spattered. Below that, curled up next to several spent shells, she discovered his little finger. She picked it up with her metal hand and called for a tin box. Gently, she placed the finger inside, then slid the tin into her trouser pocket and buttoned it. When they landed, she would bottle the finger up with formaldehyde. It was something, at least. A fine trophy. The good doctor could work with this, she hoped.
Hurry with that engine, she commanded. Time is of the essence.
She returned to surveying the sky and the rainforest. Mr. Socrates had certainly landed somewhere. The tribes or the crocodiles would likely destroy them, if they had even survived their crash. But she knew from experience that one should never take chances by assuming such things, and when it came to her old enemy, she would never count him out. If he had lived, he would likely scurry toward Port Douglas. She would dispatch patrols and cut him off.